This is At Home Connecticut, hosted by Joey Burgoyne, highlighting events and happenings that are taking place in your home, Connecticut, on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Good morning and welcome to another episode of At Home in Connecticut. I'm your host, Joey Burgoyne, and we talked to them last year. We talked to them the year before. It's the Boar's Head Festival at the Asylum Hills Congregational Church. And just like everything and anything that's happening this year, ingenuity, innovativeness, and creativity are at the forefront. And this festival is like everyone else. They've had to figure out a way to continue it. It's the 54th year. Never cancellation. The show must go on, if you will. Joining me this morning is Jack Pott, the director and producer of the Boar's Head Festival, and Jim Grisby, along with his wife, they are the co-chairs of the committee that put on this festival. Gentlemen, thank you for joining me this morning. And, you know, we'll start with a little bit there. 54 years going. That's amazing.
Yeah, Joey, I'll just fill that in a little bit. Yes, and we do typically 5 performances over a weekend. We've had snowstorms. We've had, I think 3 years ago, we had bitter cold weather. Had to worry about how to take care of the animals and that, but we never have canceled the show. There have been some that not very many people made it to, but we've never canceled. And so it was really quite a blow to have to realize that after that many years, we had to do this. But, you know, we realized that what we put on is a super spreader. We put 800 people shoulder to shoulder in a church sanctuary, and we have another 250 people backstage that virtually live together for the whole weekend. So there was just no way. So we went to Jack. Jack's our creative guy. So Jack, what are we going to do? So
Jack. Well, we decided that since we can't do something live, what do we have in archival footage from past performances that we could use? And I went back and I looked through, and from 2018 and 2019, we have fantastic footage of all 5 shows from those 2 years. And I am in the process of sifting through that to create a single performance video. And it will run just under 90 minutes, which is about the length of the show itself. And we are going to broadcast that on our church live stream channel, which is accessible on the website, ahcc.org. And we're going to do that free of charge on January 6 through 10. January 6, 7, 8 at 7 p.m. January 9 and 10 at 2 p.m. matinees. And again, this is a free thing. You don't have to pay. All you have to do is go to the church website, click on the live stream link, and it opens up. And at those appointed times, you'll be able to watch this show.
Now, you had to go through a little bit of footage. When you first said, this is what we're going to do, was there a moment where you went, oh gosh, what did I just get myself into?
Yes, absolutely. I even say that to myself now as I'm in the editing process of it. But Like many other people, video and audio editing is one of those new skills that I had to learn. And I had the opportunity to do quite a bit of it over the last 10 months, and feel confident that what I can put together is going to be a good product. So,
well, Joey, we're calling Jack's musical skills into great need at this moment, because as you said, he has footage from several different shows. Well, now, he conducts the choir and the orchestra. So if the tempo is not quite the same, or the pitch is not quite the same, well, it shows, doesn't it?
Yes.
That background you have, has that helped you with this adventure?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. You know, when you have an overarching knowledge of how you want the show to go. And certainly there are always little idiosyncrasies that happen within each performance. And you do a, you know, what we might call a post-mortem after the show about what went well, what didn't. And going through this footage is sort of a reminder to me of what did go well. And, you know, those are the moments that we can actually highlight.
So it's almost like its own little best of series, if you will.
Exactly.
you know, give us a little bit of a history, if this was live, while people are watching it, the feeling of what it was like to do these live shows and just the complications that arose during some of them.
Well, one thing that sticks out to me was actually last year in our 2020 performance, and it was the first time this had ever happened. When the sheep come in, when the shepherds enter, they come walking up the west aisle, and they go around the back under the balcony, and then they come to the center aisle, and then that's where they pause before the large 18-foot angel puppet comes down the side and does the big annunciation to them. Well, for whatever reason, the sheep decided they were going to be stubborn. And typically what would happen, we have a song with three verses that the choir sings while they come in. And there have been years where the sheep have gone quickly enough where we actually just cut one of the three verses because they're already in place and we just want the action to go on. This particular time, I had to repeat two verses so that the sheep could get past the back of the church where the angel is, so the angel could start to come down. And that was one of those, that's one of those on the fly, you make it work in the moment kind of thing.
And that's, you know, this festival, if people don't, we'll give a quick synopsis of what the actual Boar's Head Festival is. Jim, you've been doing this a while, you and your wife are on the committee, because I want to start with you. You know, what's your, we'll say, interpretation of the festival?
Tell us the story, really, of in medieval England. And we actually had that, put in some new adaptation of the story. We ran across a children's book that told the story in this way, that there was a student who was walking through the woods late at night with his bag of books. He was attacked by a wild boar. He stuck a copy of Aristotle's writings into the boar's mouth and killed it. So the feast is being given in this student's honor, and he's being knighted as being the killer of the evil boar. Well, he comes in on horseback, and after that, there comes this medieval feast that is just a grand procession. So that goes about 40 minutes, probably. And then I'm going to turn to Jack, because he does such a beautiful job of describing how that then morphs into the telling of the Christmas story.
So the second half of the show is the sacred half of the show, and it's the retelling of the Christmas story with live participants and live animals.
Sorry to interrupt you, but yeah. Live animals, people. Like, there's live animals inside of the church. This year, they'll be inside, you know, the video.
And their live animals bring with them the possibility for things that happen outside normally that animals do, and it happens inside our church right in the aisles. There's someone there whose special job it is to take care of that. But what happens with the second half of the show, in contrast to the first half of the show where everyone is bowing to the king and queen as they come in, is as Mary and Joseph come in and the little cherubs bring the baby Jesus to Mary and Joseph, and everyone's focus turns to them, to this sort of holy family and the birth of Christ. And suddenly, instead of everyone bowing to the king and queen, the king and queen and lords and ladies and everyone are bowing to this baby. And it's really a kind of flipping the social order. That's the representation, putting a different focus on a different spin on where our focus should be. There is nothing more 2020 than having to do what we're doing with the festival. So,
and Jim, you know, there's a lot that goes on to make this festival usually happen. What are some of the things, Jim, that you kind of, you know, this year it's a little bit different, but remember from past festivals to make it get on?
Well, the most of the work is done by church members, and we organize them into, there are about 12 different committees, from casting and costume and to properties and the staging and the reception and the marketing, and about a dozen different committees. And a total of over 200 people work on those committees. We begin in September with the casting and the fitting of costumes and getting everything ready. one massive chaotic rehearsal that's handled. We have a cast management group. Their job is to keep 150 people, some of whom are 3 years old, in order, ready to go at the right time. So it's a massive thing that goes on backstage. But to show that, we have a creative showing of how that works this year as well. Marcy Sener, who is the we call her that she's responsible really for the look of the show. She's made most of the costumes. She knows how everything needs to look, and she's just such a dedicated person. She put together a backstage video going around to each of these 12 groups and have them talk about what they do. We even went out, she and my wife went out to the Comerford farm where most of the animals, like the camel, the donkeys, sheep, and the goats come from, and got their story. We went to Whispering Horse Stables where their horse comes from. That's all in this backstage video. And I would like to mention here that your listeners can, they can find that video on our website, the same AHCC.org. You have to be a little creative. You have to go to music and arts, but then you'll find it. And that backstage video is there. And they just, Jack edited that with along with Marcy. It really tells the story of how much work goes into putting this thing on every year and how much fun we have with it.
And, you know, like I said, it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of fundraising. There's funds, you know, the cast, and you try to keep everyone going and the church going. And because this is a little bit different, how has that helped or hurt the fundraising?
Well, it mostly we raised just enough money to pay our expenses. So the only thing that we had to be concerned about this year is that we have performers and vendors who they depend on their performance fees. That's part of their income. Well, they didn't get that this year. So we put a fundraising effort together to raise some funds to pay them a portion of that. And if your listeners go to that website to see the backstage video, they'll see a way that if they wish, they could make a small contribution to that fund. Just a quick story about how much this is needed and appreciated. One of the performers, I needed his address. I didn't know where to send the check, so I contacted him. He writes back and said, "Well, how wonderful this is!" And in that, he said, "I have not worked before a paying audience since March." And that's what he does. He's a performer. That's his living. So that's one of many stories that we're trying to cover in a small way. We can't pay them all of what they normally would get, but people are being very generous. So that's what we're doing this year.
And before we leave, I'm going to start with you, Jack. Because this show is so different, is there one thing after a person watches this show this year that you want them to take away might be different from years past?
I would say don't take anything for granted.
It's 2020, I mean, exactly. And Jim, same question for you.
Well, my heart goes out to all the people who participate in this, not only the performers, but all of the church members. And it's left a hole in our heart this year that we were not able to do this. Yes, we get a little grumpy in November when the work is going, and it seems to be a lot. But it is such a joy, and we've missed that this year. It's been a part of our experience in being together, you know, 150 person team to put this thing on.
Jack, real quick, if people want to check out the show, how can they check that out coming up in January?
Well, January 6, 7, and 8, it will be broadcast on the church live stream channel at 7 p.m. And that's available at www.ahcc.org. And January 9 and 10 at 2 p.m. And the show will start right at the top of the hour and just under 90 minutes long. You can watch it 5 times in a row. But I think the great thing about this is for people who have attended the show in the past, and they thought, wow, I wish my family in Mississippi could see this show, or my family out on the West Coast. Now they can. So spread the word.
And spread the word, start the popcorn, and enjoy the show. Well, gentlemen, thank you for joining me this morning. It's going to be an amazing show. I appreciate everything you do, everything you have done for the show in the past. Because remember, great things happen at home in Connecticut.
You've been listening to At Home in Connecticut, a public service project produced by WTIC News Talk 1080.